Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara Wesley Gray speaking to you February 7, 2016 here in New York City. I want to thank you again for tuning in. We had a great show last week. We had Dr. Chris Saltpaw, a naturopathic physician and acupuncturist, who was a guest, and we had scheduled him to be with us again today, but unfortunately, he's not able to make it with us. He had an event that occurred that did not allow him to attend this morning's session. But he will be with us hopefully within the near future, possibly next week. We just have to make confirmation. I want to thank you for tuning in. And as I mentioned last week, I was on a hiatus of sorts. And it's really a thrill to be back with you on board with Grassroots Holistic Health Radio Talk Show. We have with us, again, my lovely wife, Dr. Dorothea Gray. I want to thank you for being with us again, hon. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Look, I'm always glad to appear on your show.
Well, great.
It's such a necessary show. Helping others, any work helping others, it's so necessary in today's world. I just love your show, Baba.
Well, thank you. And I love having you with us, and I'm sure that the listening audience appreciates your presence as well. This morning, I would like to continue from where we left off last week, and that was concentrating on New Year's resolutions and as pertaining to health. And now that we're in the month of February, I'm sure that there are many people throughout the world, millions of people who have made resolutions, who, however, have struggled to keep them.
So what do you think the top three are?
I would think that one of them are perhaps losing weight. And also smoking and overeating. Well, that's part of the losing weight piece, but not getting enough sleep, perhaps. Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't have the support that we need to assist us in keeping these resolutions. And I'd like to just take a moment to talk about that, because my wife and I, Dora and I, we have made promises to each other in terms of not necessarily New Year's resolutions, but a desire to optimize our health throughout the year. And
absolutely,
we're constantly tweaking the process, as it were. And I know that my wife, I'm so proud of her that she has, throughout the years, those of you who know of this story and who's listened to previous shows are aware that she had diabetes, and I use the word had. She's now, you know, she's not fully out of the box, if you will.
Well, I'm medicine free now.
Right. She's, well, why don't I just let Dora speak about that right now?
Okay, sure. Well, I'm not going to do like last week. Last week, I think I talked too much. So I'm not going to do that this time.
Well,
but you know that this topic is so near and dear to me that I can talk about it all day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that this time. But basically, when I was diagnosed with diabetes, I was put on insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the best experience for me. And I'll say, as I always say, I respect allopathic medicine. Without the insulin, I would not be alive today.
Mm-hmm.
But I was clear, based on the way my body was feeling and the way my body was reacting to the prescription medication, I was clear that prescription medication is not meant to be a life sentence. But I respect it because it saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm medicine free today. And I'm continuing, you know, I struggle every now and then with my fasting numbers, but I've made such incredible progress that I actually do consider myself diabetes free. And if not, at the very most, I would consider myself what they call pre-diabetic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, that's something that I'm sure that a lot of you who are listening would be encouraged to hear, because many of us think that when we get illnesses such as diabetes, that it's a death sentence.
Yes.
Or if not that extreme, it's a sentence of you to having a lifestyle that's restricted.
Amputation, blindness.
Exactly. And then you're going to have to keep continually sticking yourself with needles.
Yes.
Injecting insulin and so forth, and if not, hopefully taking pills, which is not as bad, but it still can be problematic.
Bad as well.
It's bad as well.
Because the oral medication almost gave me a heart attack.
Isn't that something?
So, yes.
Yes.
So either mm-hmm. it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be a life sentence.
The best medicine is nature's medicine.
Yes.
That's the best medicine. You go, you consult nature, you make yourself available, or you access the availability of nature's pharmacy, as it were.
This Absolutely.
Is a, this is a coin that a phrase that I just recently heard a few days ago, nature's pharmacy.
Absolutely.
So I encourage all of you to do your due diligence, those of you who are listening, to research the genesis of medicine and understanding that medicine evolved from those who were in the village, in the community, who were farmers, and indeed myself, I'm an African drummer, and I know I learned some years ago that it was the musician in the community who was designated as the healer. He or she was taught by their parents, if not grandparents. It was something that was passed on from generation to generation to learn the significance of all the plants in the land, the herbs, to learn how to teach people how to regulate their breathing and their during the course of the day when they're working. Music was also used as a way of providing not just entertainment, but being in touch with the ancestors, being in touch with nature, so that one could work during the course of the day, being mindful of being in a mode of grace and gratitude. That gratitude being grateful for the ancestors who paved the way, those whose shoulders which we stand on, and to follow the traditions that are proved to be helpful and beneficial for one's life. I must just share with you also that my wife and I are both ordained ministers. We're interfaith ministers, and that's one of the reasons why we are compelled to share information, because of the fact this is part of our ministry.
Yes.
Very much so. yes, we find out that as one is married and together with your partner, that we start thinking the same thoughts. And as you just witnessed, we just responded.
Don't say
the
what
same
I
thoughts,
say.
Right? Well, we can't help it, can we?
I know.
We also are Reiki practitioners, and we play numerous instruments, and my wife happens to be a former teacher, a musical teacher, of what was that, violin, piano, and guitar.
Yes.
And she's a singer as well as myself. I play piano, African and jazz drums. I at one time played in the high school band. I played trumpet and clarinet. And so there's a lot of music in our community, in our home rather, and I guess in our community as well. But our type of orientation towards music is one of upliftment, one of higher self energy, as it were, as opposed to lower self. And we are just excited about future shows so that we can concentrate in that area of the importance of good music. Well, I guess that's objective, but in the importance of healing music, as it were, in our surroundings. So I'd like to now go back to this, the original thought of New Year's resolution. There are some tips which I can share with you, and that is in the area of how we condition ourselves to make resolutions which are not obtainable, where we set ourselves up. And one of the things that one should consider is that if you want to change a habit and make an everlasting change, the first thing to do is to raise your standards. Basically, you have to change the belief and desire that you have of yourself in the area in which you wish to change. So we would suggest that you write down all the things that you're no longer accept or tolerate and all the things that you want to become and achieve. What do you want to do in terms of how do you demand those changes from yourself? So writing things down is a very important step. Rather than just thinking and talking about it to yourself and to others, it becomes more profound and more real, as it were, when you write it down. As a result of that, the habit begins with a number of beliefs that together create a strategy. So if that's repeated often enough, the strategy becomes a habit. So how can you change a habit once it has been formed? It's pointless, I would say, to raise your standards and not believe that you can achieve them. That's called self-sabotaging. And how many of us self-sabotage?
Well, right, people do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People do it all the time. And I think that the reason people self-sabotage, and I'd like to preface that by saying, if you've done this, it's not your fault. Don't beat yourself up. We're
absolutely
just creatures of habit, and we learn from what other people say, oh, you should do this, you should do that, and it doesn't work out. So if you've done it, you've broken a resolution, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't beat yourself up. But to get back to the point, though, I believe people self-sabotage in a well-meaning way. Now, for instance, suppose I was a cigarette smoker,
mm-hmm.
and you know I'm an ex-cigarette smoker. I quit in 1990 was the last cigarette I ever smoked.
Wonderful.
It's a long time, right?
Wonderful.
But from experience, I know that we can make resolutions. How many years did I used to make New Year's resolutions? I'm going to stop smoking today,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to stop smoking by next month. If you set your standards too high, chances are you're not going to achieve them. So it looks like we're self-sabotaging ourselves. So if you set your standard as opposed to I'm going to stop smoking today or next month or even this year because it's difficult to stop smoking cigarettes, set a standard to I'm going to be healthy and work on that. And if you set your standard, I intend to be healthy, then you'll find that just automatically the universe will support you with that and you will start doing things or stop doing things that lend itself to your being healthier.
Mm.
And when you see that you're cutting down on the number of cigarettes that you're smoking every day or every week, however you choose to monitor yourself, then raise your standard a little higher, and you'll see a much more viable level of success.
Great, that's really on point. I'm happy you brought that up in terms of setting your standards within reason and incrementally.
Yes.
increasing the goal, as it were.
And that's
such as smoking cigarettes.
I used to smoke,
and I think you told me as well, a pack a day.
Oh, I was a pack a day, easily.
Right. And
back then, society made it easier to smoke because at those times, I used to be able to smoke in the lecture hall in college. You could sit in the classroom
yes.
and smoke.
Yes.
I used to be able to sit at my desk at work and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in banking at that time, and I was able to sit at my desk like many of us on the banking floor, smoke cigarettes, and you could sit at your desk and smoke. And, you know, eventually laws came about where you could no longer do that, but at the time I was smoking, society actually, you know, supported that.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it was in a sense glamorized.
Yes, it was glamorized.
You know, the movies that you looked at.
Oh, the movie
stars. The actors
stars
would be smoking cigarettes with the cigarette holder and
yes,
so forth.
Yes, it was so glamorous.
It was such a glamorous thing. And,
absolutely.
And if you had a business meeting, you had drinks. You went out to have drinks and you had, you know, you offered a cigarette.
And cigarettes, that's right.
Yeah.
So society really supported it and enabled it.
And then at one time, it was a sign of arriving in terms of into adulthood.
That's right.
I remember when I
was
young.
I'm an adult now. I can smoke.
Yes. So I'm 72 years of age, those of you who are listening.
I'm 28. Only kidding.
Yes.
I couldn't be 28 if I stopped smoking in March 1990.
Well, you might biologically be 28. And that's another topic, another show, by the way, in terms of we have a biological age and then we have a chronological age.
That's right.
So one can be biologically 50 years of age, say, for instance, but through exercise and proper diet and so forth, you can reverse your biological age, as it were.
I can attest
not
to
chronologically,
that.
But biologically.
Biologically, absolutely.
You know,
I feel better now than I did when I was in my 20s and 30s.
Absolutely. There's some of us who are 50, but biologically our body is as if we're 80.
That's true.
Because of, as we mentioned earlier,
our habits
such as smoking, such as improper diet.
Such not as getting enough sleep.
Not enough sleep.
Stress.
Not enough exercise, stress. You know, all of these factors can play into your mode of health, if not our status of health.
Mm-hmm.
So we must be mindful of the miraculous attributes of healing, the capacity for the body to heal itself, and for us to really maximize our full potential in terms of our health. I just want to mention also, those of you who are listening, if you'd like to share your thoughts with us, please call in at, you've called in, of course, because you're listening, but press the number 1 button, and then that will indicate that you're raising your hand and you'd like to participate in this discussion.
Number 1 on your phone.
That's number 1 on your phone, right. Thank you, honey. Yes, you have to be clear about that. So we're just going to take a short break. And we're looking forward to getting back to this interesting discussion of starting new habits for the new year. And let's just go over some things which I think will be beneficial and helpful regarding starting a new habit and creating lasting change in your life for the new year. Number one, you need to have a firm belief without any doubt in the achievement and success of your desires. And these beliefs must be like unquestioned commands. They shape every thought, feeling, and action that you'll take. And within the strength of these beliefs lies the core to real and everlasting change. Number two, your beliefs need to be under control. If not, no matter what you decide to change, you'll never have the conviction to achieve your goals or the desire to truly change. And then, thirdly, you must create a strategy. And once you have the beliefs that will lead to your success ingrained within you, then you can you need to have a strategy to achieve those results. And I provided an example result of getting in shape in previous shows, and I will share that with you. Those of you who may not know that I'm a marathon runner, I've ran 14 New York City marathons, and hopefully this year I will be healthy enough, in terms of when I say health, injury-free, because I've had some problems with my knee for the last couple of years, off and on, and I need to exercise in that area, but I will be running my 15th marathon, if not this year, the following year for sure. Just to continue, in terms of creating a strategy, you have to set your beliefs that you are in great shape and physically fit. You know what you can accomplish by doing that. You can hear you can see yourself doing this, as it were. You can visualize. Visualization is a very important concept, and it's very real. You want to be able to hear people complimenting you, applauding you for your accomplishments, and just envision and visualize that this is real and it's happening. That imagery, you want to enhance the whole image that you've set in your mind. You want to adjust the brightness and bring it to clarity. You want to create bright colors to enhance its brilliance. You want to adjust the size of the picture of yourself and make this a life-size image of yourself, feeling healthy, looking healthy. And then you want to allow your inner being to do its part in fulfilling your goal. And that is that these changes that have taken place and have been performed repeatedly, that you've set a new pattern which will develop and create the habitual change that's within you. All right, so the next thing is to choose those steps, and those steps are very, very many and can be segmented, as it were. You want to get at least 8 hours of sleep per day. You want to set your alarm clock 40 minutes earlier than you are scheduling your workout and exercise. You want to have your workout clothes laid out the night before for easy accessibility. And you want to have a healthy lunch prepared the night before. You want to plan all your meals in advance if possible. And those of you who are attempting to lose weight, you want to research a good weight-losing program. I'm not going to name any programs, but you want to do your due diligence, speak to your friends and associates, go online, Google. You'll find that those that are most successful will be the ones that are within the first 5 or 10 listed. You want to also analyze the health habits that you've had within the last 5, 10 years or so. Those people in your family who are a circle of friends who are not healthy, you want to find out what is it that they're doing that doesn't allow them to be healthy. What are their lifestyles in terms of eating habits? My wife and I, we do not drink. We don't smoke, as you know, from what we mentioned earlier. But we are also vegetarians. And, of course, everyone cannot be a vegetarian, but one should become cognizant of the fact that, indeed, eating certain foods can be detrimental, such as red meat. If one has to eat meat, preferably you might want to eat fish. And salmon is one of the types of fish that is highly recommended because it's fresh water and it's not contaminated. And there are other types of food that we must consider also, such as those that are processed. We want to get away from junk food and a host of other types of foods and things that you consume that are not healthy for you. We will discuss that later on. So, again, I would suggest that you embrace those of you who have weight issues. You're not able to, of course, maybe run as frequently or as fast as those who don't have weight issues. But I recommend that you would want to walk at least a half an hour per day. If not a half an hour, you can start off by walking for 5 minutes and increase it every week to maybe 10 minutes. 5 minutes of walking every week until you're getting up to a half an hour a day. And then at that point, to increase the pace. The optimum pace that you'd like to establish eventually is the pace that requires you to take deep breaths and that you're perspiring. Then you know that indeed your heartbeat is up at maximum level, so it becomes beneficial to you.
So, Baba, with walking, I'm just going to play devil's advocate
yes.
with you for a second. So, if I work every day, and then after work, I have to maybe pick up a child from daycare, or I might have other responsibilities I have to do, how can I possibly walk 30 minutes a day?
Okay, that's a good question. There are different schools of thought. There are some schools of thought that say that you can have a cumulative of a half an hour. And so if you pick your child up from school and you're walking to the school and walking to the bus or back to the car and so forth, that can count as your total of half an hour a day. You know, you might have 10 minutes in which that process takes. Then you have to go to the store or do whatever your daily chores are, another 10 to 15 minutes. And that could total your half an hour. But then there's the other school of thought, which was the first one that I was exposed to, was that, no, you have to have a concentrated half an hour nonstop where you're walking. So, again, that might be difficult. You might not be able to do that per day, but you might be able to do that one day of the week.
Well, what about people who are really serious about improving their health? That's why I was playing devil's advocate,
mm-hmm.
because I'm about to suggest something that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get off the subway or the bus a couple of stations sooner than you normally would.
Absolutely.
And walk. And right. And also, those of us who might depend on our car for transportation, is it possible, is it feasible to maybe park 15 minutes or so away from your destination and walk the rest of the way? Why do you have to park right in front of the door
Excellent.
Of where you're going?
Excellent.
Right?
Excellent.
So I know I had to think of creative ways to get in my walking because
mm-hmm.
I work every day and I have other responsibilities, right? But I find that walking, getting off the subway a couple of stations sooner can be beneficial.
Absolutely. Excellent point. Excellent point. And I'm happy you mentioned that because of the fact that many of us are not conscious of our habits, such as driving to the store, depending on getting off at a station or a bus stop, so it's most convenient, so you can save time. So my wife, Dora, has just given a suggestion which I think could help so many people if they were just mindful of that.
And it's time management, because
yes.
if you're going to get off the subway a couple of stations
mm-hmm.
before you need to, now how long will it take you? You know, so 15 minutes. So you might have to leave your home a little bit earlier to do this,
mm-hmm.
but it's doable. And instead of saying, you know, like we – and again, it's not our fault. So if you do this, please don't beat yourself up. We are not judging you. We're just speaking reality. We're
right.
talking good talk here.
Absolutely.
Okay? And so please don't beat yourself up if you find that you're doing these habits which are not conducive to good health.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, so again, with time management. So now what else might you have to do? You might have to get up 15 or 20 minutes earlier to accommodate getting off at a station before you reach your actual destination, to give yourself that time so that you're not late for work. Don't say, oh, I'm walking and I'm healthy. Oh, but they said do that and now I'm late for work. No, no, no. Take responsibility. Get up a little bit earlier in the morning to accommodate that extra walking time.
Yes, honey. That's so much on point. And as she mentioned before, this is not about judgment.
No.
And most importantly also is that you don't judge yourself harshly.
Well, that's why I'm able to be non-judgmental towards others, because for many years of my life, I was my harshest judge. And when you think of that, we're our worst critics, and it's not our fault. The society we live in, we've just been indoctrinated into criticism. So when you think about it, it's like, oh my God, I used to do that all the time. So I am so mindful of not doing that to other people.
Yes.
So at this show, we're not here to judge you. We're here to give you information that we're not assuming will help. We know that it can help, maybe not every single person, because nothing is absolute in this world.
Right.
Okay? Nothing is absolute. No guarantees, no promises. But we do know that the majority of people who tell us that they use these suggestions, that it's worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
We know it works because it's worked for us. I couldn't sit here and comfortably talk about, you know, medicine for diabetes, whether it's oral medication or injectable medicine. I couldn't sit here and say it's not healthy for it could kill you if I hadn't experienced it.
Absolutely.
So when I'm speaking from experience, not something that I read in a book, not something that someone else told me. I know the cold, hard facts of it. I know the pros and cons. I know the joys as well as the difficulties. And I'm here to assist you in moving beyond the difficulties. Because I would not be sincere with what I say if I were to tell you that it was a cakewalk, because it was not. It was a struggle. You need support. You need personal fortitude. You need a spiritual orientation. You need to be surrounded by people who are supportive of you. And if not, then you might just have to go it alone, because going at it alone, I'll tell you, can be easier than being surrounded by people who do not support what you're doing.
Absolutely. People, places, and things.
Yes.
Yeah, we must be very mindful of the so-called expression of peer pressure.
Yes.
A lot of us want to blend in, as it were.
Right.
Want to be accepted. And, I mean, psychologically, there's a myriad of theses that has been written about the influence of parents on their children, the family, as it were. And, again,
even the media.
And the media, we in this society, in Western society, we are conditioned to think that you cannot get together without having
a drink,
if it were. I mean, most cultures do have feasts, they have ceremonies and so forth, but we're superfluous without consumption, as it were, you know, and we overcook the food, and we cook too much food.
Yes.
And
we
then
too much, we
of,
eat too
of
much.
The wrong food, for that matter.
Yeah.
And when we have the holidays, such as New Year's resolution coming right after New Year's celebration, Christmas,
sure.
Thanksgiving,
surely.
You know, and then of course to say nothing of the birthdays, weddings, and other types of ceremonies where there's a cake that's being made, and other types of food, which especially if you're from those of us who are African American. We tend to eat food that is not healthy because from generation to generation, we've been conditioned to eat what was called the remnants of the slave house.
That's correct.
You know, that food that was thrown away, the pig feet, the chitlins, the pork chops and
it's
so
not
forth.
healthy, no matter
Not
how you
healthy.
prepare it, no matter how good it might taste, it's
Exactly.
not good for your body. Your body was not designed by the creator to consume those types of meals.
Yes. At one time, I remember as a young boy, my mother used to use lard to cook food, to fry chicken and so forth.
Very
You know.
detrimental to your body. You'll get the high cholesterol, the
Exactly.
clogged arteries. It's just very detrimental. And again, no matter how good a meal may taste, that doesn't mean it's good for you. It just means that it might have satisfied your taste buds for a short time.
Yes, and in the near future, we're going to have a gentleman who is an herbologist. My wife and I are on the path of becoming herbologists, as it were, but we have knowledge which is substantial for us to maintain a healthy eating lifestyle. But those of you who are listening, we are excited to be able to have guests on the show who are experts in these areas. So stay tuned for our postings, and we are definitely going to be able to raise it up quite a few notches in terms of how to maximize your eating habits and elevate yourself to the point that you can be as healthy as possible.
Absolutely.
So, again, honey, I just was thinking about the fact that how we would date each other in the park and take walks and runs and so forth.
Yes, and we would
And
take fruit with us
yes.
and granola for our snacks.
So,
That was
to those of you who are
fun.
listening, if you're married, that might be an idea to consider, to date each other through exercise.
It's fun. We would do it, and it's just a lot of fun. We haven't had the time very recently, but we're going to be getting back into that again. We've been working on several different projects and our writing, and that's time consuming, but it's important to do things like that. And those of you who may not be in a relationship, I used to do this before I met Baba. Get one of the small backpacks and put a Granny Smith apple and a banana in it and some water and go for walks for yourself and have fun and strike up conversations with strangers within reason, of course, just smile and be happy and be outdoors and enjoy yourself. Get yourself a good pair of running shoes. And when I say a good pair of running shoes, I mean a pair that fits your feet properly. Everyone's feet are different. Try on as many pairs as you need to try on to get running shoes that fit your feet properly. And the reason I'm stressing that is I've had running shoes in the past that some were pricey, some were not pricey, but bottom line is they didn't fit my feet properly. And you'll find, Baba helped me with that. You'll find that when you get a pair of running shoes that fit your feet properly, it should feel like you're walking on air. So sometimes it's not about the price, it's about are they functional
Right.
for your feet. I happen to have very narrow heels, so I need running shoes that accommodate narrow heels. I have somewhat high arches. And you see where I'm going with this. Just because your friend might have, running shoes from a particular manufacturer, or this manufacturer might be the popular one at that time, if you're really talking about optimal health, if you're really talking about self-actualizing in every area of your life, sometimes you have to forget about the advertisements. Sometimes you have to forget about what your friends might say or do or have, and you have to look at what's best for you. What is best for you? So approach things with, okay, my friend has those, I'm going to try them. But if they don't fit me right, I'm going to look at a different brand.
Absolutely. Well, that's the benefit of having the internet.
Yes.
You can go to Google and just key in best size fitting running shoe for my weight, the size of my foot, the shape of your foot, and so forth.
Or just go to one of the stores that offer several brands and speak with the salespeople.
Absolutely.
Let them, you know, allow you to try on several pairs. Explain to them, you know, ask for their help. Explain, because some of them are experts
mm-hmm.
in that field. Some of them are not just salespeople for the commission and here, try these on, they look great, have a nice day.
Right.
Many of the people that you find in the specialty stores, they are there to help you. So ask them questions. Tell them about any conditions you might have with your feet. Tell them your goals, you know, running versus jogging, short-term versus long-term. If you're a marathon runner the way my husband is, you will require a different type of running shoe than somebody who just, you know, is going to run around the block twice in the neighborhood or something. You're going to require a different type. So speak to the salespeople and let them fit you with what's best for you so that you can enjoy this experience, maximize this experience.
Mm-hmm. That's great information, Hyde. Great information. Well, we're coming close to the end of our show. And again, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And of course, next week, next Sunday at 9 a.m., we will be continuing with our theme, Making New Year's Resolutions and Optimizing Your Health. So those of you who are interested in more information, please feel free to email me at barbawesleygray@gmail.com. That's barbawesleygray@gmail.com. And of course, be sure to visit my website, which is drumsofchange.com. I look forward to speaking with you. And honey, I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in with us.
Oh, I always
mean, for
love
sharing
to be here.
Your thoughts with us. You're
I always love
in.
To be mm-hmm. here. And may I mention to the listeners, if you're getting value from this show, tell your friends about it. You
mm-hmm.
know, join us Sunday mornings, and let's have a health talk party on the air.
I love it. Oh, I almost forgot. My wife, Dora, is a life coach.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you share with the listening audience your services and the essence of life coaching.
And so the essence of life coaching, I am a certified life coach, and I entered that field, again, personal experience, and instead of looking at the adverse situations in my life in a negative way, I embraced them to the point where I wanted to use them to assist other people. So let's, talking about health, because I could talk about many areas, empowering women, relationships, so on and so forth, but we're talking about health today. I'm going to try to stay on point, right? And when you're recovering from an illness, or if you've just found out, you receive a diagnosis that you have a serious or even a life-threatening illness, you're afraid, you're depressed, so many emotions, so many feelings, so much uncertainty that you're hit with all at once just from a doctor giving you a one statement, I'm sorry you have diabetes, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you you have cancer, you know, you have such and such. And your world is turned upside down when you hear those words. Believe you me, I know. I pray that very few people ever have to hear those types of words, but we know that that's very prevalent here in America and worldwide for that matter. So what do you do? So getting back to life coaching, you want to get well, but you have highs and lows. Unfortunately, there tend to be more low points than high points in an illness. You might have well-meaning people in your life. You might not have anyone in your life. But whoever you have or do not have in your life, coaching assists you because you have someone who is non-judgmental. You know, a good coach anyway would never try to motivate you by saying things like, well, you know, you eat too much. That's why you got that illness came on. A good coach would never say things like that. A good coach is there to be supportive of you assist you in making your own decisions. A good coach should never tell you what to do, but a good coach should have the knowledge and the wherewithal to get the information you need if they don't, at that second in time, have the knowledge to assist you on your healing journey. Mm-hmm. A good coach should be there to recognize when you're at a point where you no longer need coaching, and they should recommend that too. And those are the types of, that is the type of interaction that I have with people whom I work with. Mm-hmm. So think about it, life coaching. You can reach me by contacting Baba if you wish. Baba gave you this contact information. Or you could contact me directly. My email is Dora, D-O-R-A, 4367 at gmail.com if you're interested in life coaching services.
Is there a number they can call?
You may reach me at 888-449-0413.
And you can reach me at 888-338-2508. And I will definitely get back to you. I look forward to you connecting with us next week. And again, thank you so much. And, of course, we thank the universe. We thank the Most High. We thank our ancestors for giving us the facility to be able to share this information with you, because without their shoulders, we would not be able to stand. So peace and love to all of you. And we bid thee farewell. Alafia. Assalamu alaikum. Peace and love.
Day.